I previewed, even though I didn't know I was doing it, but I previewed this morning's message in last Sunday morning's message. I preached this morning a sermon I've entitled, To Die is Gain. To Die is Gain. And I mentioned last week that a week ago Friday, I went to a funeral service, and the one that was conducting the funeral service reminded us as part of the service how death is an integral part of life, and that death usually results in something better. And he gave us some examples. I'm going to share those that he gave us, and then I added a couple to them, and then I'll get to my message. But here's what he said. He said, a little baby dies to being a baby so that they can gain being a toddler. And I don't know if you've ever thought about the difference between a baby and a toddler, but I think, looking back on it, it was a whole lot better being a toddler than it was a baby. I mean, when you're a baby, all you get to eat is that mushy stuff. I mean, you know, you get milk and you get the baby food, and when you're a toddler, you get to start eating real food. Okay, not a lot of it, but some of it. You start walking. Aaron has taken a few steps, and he's a little toddling yet. That's probably they call him toddlers, but he's starting to walk. He's starting to make noise. Sooner or later, he'll hopefully make intelligent noise. Took him his dad a long time, so hopefully he'll be faster than his dad. But just think, as a toddler, you get, maybe I shouldn't say this, but this is one of the big advantages as I think back on it. As a toddler, you get to use the bathroom yourself. Okay? You get rid of those stinky things called diapers. So dying to being a baby and gaining being a toddler is a good thing. To die is gain, as Paul said in Philippians 1:21. And then a toddler dies to being a toddler and gains being an adolescent. And again, as looking back on it, an adolescence has a lot more fun than a toddler does. I mean, they get to start school and make a ton of new friends. They get to play different games and games away from mom and dad. They get to go outside and play baseball and different games like that. And so being a toddler or being an adolescent is a whole lot better than being a toddler. And then an adolescent dies and gets to become a teenager. And all of us that were teenagers, if you can remember back that far, it's getting harder and harder for me to remember, but being a teenager is a whole lot better than being an adolescent. I mean, you get to start making choices on your own. You get to get out and get a job. That's right, Kate, you get to get out and drive. You don't have to depend on somebody taking you everywhere. Usually when you're a teenager, you have your first boyfriend and your first girlfriend. Some of them have them younger than that, but, you know, and so being a teenager is a whole lot better than being an adolescent. So we die to being an adolescent and we gain being a teenager. And then a teenager dies to being a teenager and gains being a young adult. And again, maybe not, your teenagers are not thinking about this yet, but being a young adult is better than being a teenager. I mean, you get to make more, and especially for your parents, amen? But you get to make more choices. You get to go to college if that's your choice. You get to start a career. And so being a young adult is better than being a teenager, but we have to die to being a teenager before we gain being a young adult. So those were some of the examples that the one that was conducting the funeral mentioned. I thought about a couple more. A single person has to die to being single in order to be married. You have to, right, Darwin? You have to die being single in order to be married. And I'll just tell you from personal experience, being married is a whole lot better than being single. I mean, you get to be with your best friend. That's the way it should be. You get to be with your best friend most of the time. You get to be with the one that you love and the one that loves you. And so being married, now all the men should say amen, being married is better than being single. You guys are all in trouble. That was the weakest amen that I've heard in months. Let's try it again. Men, being married is better than being single. Amen?
Yeah.
All right, good. You might get lunch this afternoon. And then a young couple, here's another example, a young couple that is childless dies to being childless and gains having children. And again, having children is a wonderful thing. There are more people in your love, in your life to love. There are more people in your life that will love you. You get to teach and train them. You get to watch them as they grow and mature and turn into toddlers and adolescents and teenagers. And we'd sort of like to skip the teenage years as parents, but they turn into teenagers and then young adults. And so having children, the Bible says it's a gift from God, but you have to die to being childless in order to gain having children. And then, I don't know how to say this, but we die as non-grandparents so that we can become and gain being grandparents. I had to chuckle. I asked Betty how she liked that new little granddaughter that she has, and she says, "This is the cutest little baby that's ever been." I said, "You're not prejudiced, are you?" She said, "No, it's just the fact. It's just the fact." But we die as non-grandparents and we gain becoming grandparents. Again, somebody that we can love and be loved by. Somebody that we can spoil and send home to mom and dad. Somebody that we can enjoy being children with again. You seem to do that more with your grandchildren, I'm finding out, than you did with your kids. You just get to enjoy them. And so, but we have to die in order to gain being grandparents. Now, that principle that death results in gain is a Bible principle. And listen to this statement. In the will of God, in the will of God, death always results in gain. When Paul said it in Philippians 1:21, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." What he was saying is, while I'm here, I'm going to serve Jesus. While I'm here, I want to present my body as a living sacrifice to him. I want to let him live through me. But when my life is over, when my course is done, when my race is completed, I gain something a whole lot better. So for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Now, God also teaches that. Well, wait a minute, before I go there. I've told you this story before, but it makes a point. R.G. Lee was a Baptist preacher down in Memphis, Tennessee. He pastored the Bellevue Baptist Church. Helen went there a little bit when she was growing up. And R.G. Lee got to be an older man. And he was on an elevator in a hotel, and he was mugged. And these young hoodlums came up to him and said, they didn't know him, said, "We want your money, or we're going to kill you." And R.G. Lee just looked at him and chuckled a little bit. He said, "You can't scare me with heaven. If you kill me, I'm just going to go to hell. I'll give you my money. But you can't, you're not threatening me when you say you're going to kill me. Because if I die, I'm going to gain. I get to go to heaven." And so to die is gain. And in the will of God, that's always true. In the will of God, death always results in gain. Now, God shows us that same thing in nature. In John chapter 12, verse 24, the Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Now, just think of it. A corn of wheat. A kernel of corn. The eye of a potato. They're all small things, and on their own, they are not worth much. But if they die and are buried, planted, the Bible says, and we know it's true from what we've experienced, they bring forth much fruit. A head of wheat, a stalk of corn, potatoes. But in order for that gain to happen, that seed has to die. It has to be buried. It has to be planted. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible says, "That which thou sowest is not quickened except it die." That which thou sowest is not quickened, is not made alive, except it die. And what that again, that word quickened means made alive. And what that verse is saying is that life is gained from death. Life is gained from death. I have three simple points this morning that all revolve around that point. Number one, I die to works and gain the gift of salvation. I die to works and gain the gift of salvation. All of us were made by God to fellowship with Him. You were made by your Creator to have a relationship with Him. Every single person. Don't give me this stuff that's a lie straight out of hell, that some were predestined by God to be lost and some were predestined to be saved. God knows who's going to accept the gospel. God knows who's going to receive Jesus Christ. But God made everybody with the potential to be saved. That's why He uses whosoever when He invites people to come to Jesus. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have eternal life. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And every single person is given enough faith by God, if they will exercise that faith, to come to Jesus Christ. And so we were made to have that relationship with Him. And if we don't have a relationship with God, there's part of us that's empty. There's part of us that's missing. There's part of us that will never be satisfied or fulfilled with anything else. We try to put a bunch of stuff in there. I mean, Solomon talks about it in the book of Ecclesiastes. He says, I gained great wealth, and I gained great possessions, and I gained great knowledge, and I gained, try to say that fast 10 times, and I gained great other things, knowledge. But he said, it's all vanity. Those things don't satisfy that part of me that needs a relationship with God. The Bible tells us it's our sin that messes up that relationship. We're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. Separation from God. The wages of sin is not physical death, although that's sin sometimes results in physical death. But that's not what the Bible's talking about. The death that's the wages of sin is being separated from God for all eternity. That's the wages of sin. And we, with our human mentality, says, I'm a sinner. It's my sin that separates me from God. I must have to do something to make up for it. Listen, every religious body, every religious plan, every religious system, except for Christianity, has something that man must do to get back in the good favor of God. Everyone except for Christianity. There are some that says, well, I must have to do penance. I must have to pay for my evil deeds. That's what I must do to get back in the good graces of God. Others say, well, you have to get baptized, and they baptize in different ways. But they say, you got to get baptized in order to get back into God's good graces. Or you got to join the church to get back in God's good graces. Or you got to live in a certain way to get to restore that relationship with God. If you don't live in a certain way and do good things, you'll never get back. Others say you have to pay a certain amount of money to get back in the good graces of God. And there are other things. I won't take the time to mention them, but they say there are things that you have to do in order to restore that relationship with God and get back in His favor. I want to tell you this morning, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Him. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any other man should boast. I don't gain God's favor by doing something. And you don't gain God's favor by doing something. It is not by works. I get it because of the grace of God, and I get it because I put my faith in Jesus Christ and believe that he's the Son of God, and that when he went to Calvary, he took all of my sins and he died and paid the price for my sins. It's by grace, by faith, and not by works. And so I have to die to works in order to gain the gift of salvation. I have to say there is nothing, nothing, nothing that I can do to get right with God except to come to Jesus Christ. If you add anything to what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary to get saved, to get right with God, you are off base. Because when he said from the cross, it is finished, what he was saying is the plan of God is completed and there's nothing that needs to be added to it. Now listen to me, I think you ought to get baptized after you get saved. Not as part of getting saved, but to show other people that you're identifying with him. I think you ought to live a good life and do good things, but not as part of your salvation, because you have one that loved you, that gave his life for you, and your reasonable service is to serve him. I'm not discounting those other things, but when we add it to salvation, we take away from what Jesus did on the cross, and what he did on the cross was sufficient. It was all encompassing, and it's the only thing that needs to happen for us to get right with our God. And so I have to die to my works. I have to die to the things that I want to do to get right with God in order to gain the gift of salvation. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So I die to works, so that it can gain the gift of salvation. Number two, I die to my will and gain the perfect will of God. Every single one of us were made for a purpose. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Before we were conceived, before we made our appearance on this earth, God had a plan for each of our lives. Every single person, from Junior over here to Brother Ray in the back, every single person, he had a plan for our life. And if you're still here, breathing his air, walking his earth, he still has a plan for your life today. You don't get too old to get out of the plan of God. The fact that you're still here means he's still got a plan for your life. Unfortunately, all of us come to points in our life where we're like Ford. We have a better idea. We think we know more than God. And instead of seeking and living God's will for our life, we implement our plan, our scheme, our ideas. And sometimes, measured by the world's standards, we become a success. I mean, people look at our life and say, oh, they must be living for God and doing God's will for their life, because look at how God has blessed them with the things of the world. But this morning, I want you to just step back for a minute. Just step back for a minute and think how foolish it is for the created to think that we know more than the Creator. How foolish it is for us to think that we have a better idea how we should spend our lives than the one that designed us, the one that made us, the one that controls all our experiences to form us into what we are. How dumb and foolish it is for us to think that we know more than God about what should happen with our life. It would be like a hammer. I was going to bring one, but I forgot. It would be like a hammer saying, "Well, I think it's best for me to be a flower pot." I mean, we'd say, how dumb is that? A hammer was made to be a hammer. It was made to pound things. I mean, did these come apart? Oh, sorry. I'll take the whole thing. This is a hammer holding a flower. How stupid does that look? Not me, my hand is a hammer. I know where some of you are going. But look, a hammer. A hammer has no business holding the flower. A hammer was made to pound things, to hit nails, to drive things in. It would be like me saying, hey, I'm going to give up everything, and I'm going to go on tour, and I'm going to be a singer. Right, Nick? That's right. Or I'm going to give up everything, and I'm going to be an artist. I'm going to take a paint. I can't paint worth anything. I mean, it would be foolish for me to think that I have a better idea about what God wants me to do with my life than he does. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Look, a sacrifice is something that was killed. A sacrifice is something that died on the altar. And Paul's saying, you need to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Die to your own will. Die to your own ideas. But alive unto the will of God. And that's how we get it. We get it. I die to my will so that I can gain his perfect will. So a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Do not measure your success by what the world says. I don't know, maybe you haven't realized this, but the world is messed up. The value system of the world is just messed up. Don't measure whether God's blessing you or not if you have the blessings of the world. Because sometimes the blessings of the world are a curse. Sometimes the blessings of the world are not what God intended for us to be and have. And the blessings that come from him cannot be measured in the measurement system of the world. So it says, be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's only by dying to my will that I can find God's perfect will. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, I die daily. I die daily. You see, God has a perfect will for my life today. And the only way that I'm going to find that is to die to my will today. God has a perfect will for my life tomorrow, on Monday. And the only way I'm going to find God's perfect will for my life on Monday is to get up on Monday and say, I'm dying to my will today, God, so that I can gain your perfect will for me today. I don't know how he did it, but I think Paul got up every morning before he did anything. Maybe after he prayed, I don't know. He says, God, I'm dead today. I'm dead. I don't have any plans for today. I want you to show me what you want me to do today. I will submit my will to yours. I die to my will for today so that you can show me your perfect will for today. He did it every day. Every day. Every day. Listen to me. Every single day. One of the greatest Christians that ever lived, used by God in a mighty way. A preacher, a teacher, a church builder, a missionary. Somebody that God used to work miracles. Every day he had to get up and say, God, I don't want my will for today. I want to die to my will for today. I want your perfect will for today. So I'm laying myself as that living sacrifice on the altar, and I want you to use me. Now, if Paul had to do that, I submit to you that your preacher needs to do that. And I submit to you that you need to do that. Every day, die to your will so that you can gain the perfect will of God for your life. Wasn't easy for Paul. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. said, I got to watch myself. He said in the book of Romans, I know what to do, but I don't do it. And I know what not to do, but that's what I do. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. He says, I have to watch myself. And so do we. I dare say that I'm not stronger than Paul. I dare say that most of you are not. And if it was a struggle for him, if he had to fight with himself, if he had to die daily to get the perfect will of God, so do we. So do we. And then number three, I die to this world and gain heaven. You know, last night, I just got to thinking, I got to praising God. I enjoy my life. I enjoy my family. I still have my mom and dad, and my wife, my kids. And I tell you what, the last 12 months since little Aaron has come along, my grandson, I just don't know how life can be any better. You know, I didn't understand it when your grandparents talked about how wonderful it was to be a grandparent. I mean, I heard you, but I just didn't understand it. Now that I've experienced it for myself, I just don't know how life can get any better. I enjoy my family. I enjoy what I'm doing, and I think I'm doing what God wants me to be. I think God wants me to be right here. I think he wants me to be your pastor. I think he wants us to serve together. My friends are in this place, and I have many of them in this place. I enjoy that. But I say like Paul, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I want him to use me. I want him to speak through me. I want him to minister through me. But you know what? This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And one of these days, I will die to this world and this life that I enjoy, but it will be gain because I get to go home and live with Jesus. Live with Jesus. What about you? Have you died to your works and gained the gift of salvation? Are you dying to your will so that you can gain the perfect will of God? And are you ready to die from this life and go to heaven? You can be. The Bible says the only way that we can be ready for that is to trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. If you're here today and you've never done that, you need to do it today. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And I'd invite you this morning, if you do not, if you never have asked Jesus to be your Savior, I invite you to come in just a second. And we'll take the Bible and we'll show you from the Bible how to do that. Every single person needs to do it. To die is gain. It's a truth that God teaches us over and over and over and over. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this truth. Thank you for making it true. And I pray if there's somebody here this morning that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, I pray in the next few moments you'd help them see their sin. You'd help them see the price of that sin. And you'd help them see the one who paid for that price for them. And I pray this morning that the Holy Spirit would woo them to you and that they would decide to exercise that faith that you've given them and come and ask Jesus to be their Savior. Father, I know there's many Christians that are here, and I pray that we would die daily to our will, that we would just present ourselves as that living sacrifice, and we would let you use us day by day in your perfect will. So speak to our hearts as Christians. Where we're trying to hang on to something that we shouldn't, help us to let go. Where we're trying to run parts of our life, help us to surrender and just give it all to you. And so I pray if there's Christians that are here this morning that need to come and give up and die to something that they're hanging on to, you'd help them do that. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it to further your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.